which will then be uploaded as well, of the Simon Tov Resh Mem, of the remaining, I think it's Simon Tov Resh Mem Ches. So just because I want to just make sure, the point is that I want to ensure either way, I want to go back to Simon Nun Hey next week. We must, because otherwise we're going to fall behind further. As it is, Simon Nun Hey is a little bit behind the world, and I just want to rejoin the international program. I think it's about time to rejoin the... So therefore, we're going to allow ourselves to complete Al Chaslul of tonight, despite the fact that we didn't actually cover all the halachas, and I'm going to do a recording as well, Be'ez Hashem. Hope that makes sense, pardon? So from Sunday, Mitzvah, we will be going back to the volume, which isn't probably here. Is it? It should be volume...
I'm not sure.
One or two. Is it one? Nun Hei?
There may not have been, I don't know.
Is it here or not?
I'm not sure that there
was. Either way, it's in Mishneh Berurah Chelek Aleph. In the big one, it's Chelek Aleph. And if you've got a small one, it might also be Aleph, or maybe Beis. Not sure.
Does Froma get the copies?
I don't know if he does. I do not know. Good question. Should we call him? Yeah, so Blinid, I'll call him. Do you want to call him? You got his number? Yeah. So just call him up and ask him if he's got that.
Nun Hei.
Simon Nun Hei.
He may not, because we're behind, right?
No, but that's not significantly behind. That shouldn't make so much of a difference. So his number is... Yeah, it's a good idea actually to call him. So his number is, I might have it.
Meir
Farmer, ending 668. You got it?
Have we got copies? Softback copies.
Yeah. Okay, good. So that will be from Sunday, Mitz Hashem. We'll be learning Simon Nun Hei, and that's just a tiny, tiny bit, just an inch behind the world. Really, an inch. It's literally just a week behind or something.
An inch in these conferences.
That I <previous. laughs> Okay, but going back to Ilchas, a little for final shiur this evening, Ilchas Esek, I want to go to what seems to be Rabbi Yossel's favorite topic, the grafting, because it was really fascinating. It really is a fascinating topic. And the shear as well of the soigim. Sivchov base, bottom word, last word of page 236 in these editions. So page 236. Shear, last word. Shear esakatan, what is a smaller shear? Is pochsme kebetza, less than a kebetza, less than an egg. It's possible. So a very small esak, less than a kebetza, is possible. Avolimi kebetza, but if it's a kebetza plus, then afilu boisa. Shadain loy nigma pire, even if it's not completely grown, it's not finished. In other words, it's an esek which could have grown more potentially, had it not been disconnected. It could have grown more, but you cut it off, but it's got the shear ready. Although not nigma pire, it's not fully grown, kosher is kosher. Vimo yo godoil kolshu, kosher, and if it's bigger, then, you know, the bigger the better, kind of. So, but I want to just emphasize over here the size. They do end up in the market at times quite small. I've seen esroigim for sale, which are less than the shear kibitzer. Yeah, I've seen them. So according to the majority of the poskim we're talking about, let me just get the exact shear right. According to B'chaim No, I've got the amount. We're talking about the minimum share is.
It's got to be done on volume, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's right. So, but we're talking. I think it's So it's at least 45 to 50 grams. That's how it's. I translate it into grams. You can translate it into gram. So we're talking about. If you're talking about centimeter cubes, then it's 100 centimeter cubes, or you can translate into 45 gram. I've seen rarely, but it does happen, esoigim which are smaller than that. So really, really small esoigim. Some people like small esoigim. They're handy, they're comfortable. It's nice. And some people, for practical, like small esoigim. Just make sure that it's got that minimum shear. Again, most 99.9% of the esoigim are totally within the shear above. But at rare occasion, if you can see really, really small esoig, just make sure that it's, you know, it's got the minimum shear, as we said, 45 gram at the very least.
When we're talking about kibbutz, with regards to food, the modern day egg is not the same as...
Correct. So that's the discussion.
Very good.
So that's part of the discussion here as well, as to whether Niskat Nishum for that as well or not. That's a discussion in its own right. But let me say that's what we've got to be makbid on. Is there an esek which is too big?
Yeah,
what does the Mishnah say?
It's hold one and two hands.
Says the Mishnah Buin, Zivkot and Raboisai. Kolshu, that's page 238, fourth line. Mishnah Buin says, Zivkot and Samachez, Kolshu, Hainu, Afilu, Godel, even if it's enormous, Shemeviyot, Seifoy, that you schlep it on your shoulders, Gam Ken Yotze, Yoyotze, check it out, Raboisai. Kivin Shabo Minim, the Abo Minim, Kshiyesh, Doi Kulom, if you've got, as long as you've got all four Minim, believe it or not, you don't have to hold them simultaneously. But you can't just take the esek first, and then afterwards the lulav, and afterwards the... So if it's just too big to hold it on your own, with the lulav and without that same and without over, so just take the esek first, that's alright. Put it down and take the lulav afterwards. I want to tell you about this. A few years ago, I had an enormous esek, which somehow ended up in the shipment. Huge. It was mamash enormous. First I checked, was this a melon or what is this exactly? But it was an enormous esek. And I had it on, this is a true story about Isai, and I really enjoyed it. I displayed it. This is a good few years ago, good few years ago, perhaps, I'm guessing 8 years ago. Yeah, probably 7, 8 years ago. And it was enormous, it was very big, and it was clean. It was unbelievable, it was clean. It was completely, completely clean. There was nothing on it. It was completely clean. The shape was nice. It was just enormous. It was mamish enormous. And people looked at it and everybody enjoyed it. And it was a good laugh and etc. And then one person came and he said he wants to buy it. I said, now come on, what are you going to do with this? You can't even hold it properly. No, I want to buy it. I want to buy it. He said, I must buy it. I said, well, I don't know. He said, let's start paying. I'm paying good money for it. I said, oh, you're paying good money for it? Now we're talking. So that he said, yeah, listen, I'll £100. He said, I said, £150. Are you really paying £150 for this? I said, 100%. Just give it to me and give it to me now. I said, all right, okay, you know what? I'll deal done. As he was paying, I said, tell me, what do you need this for? What's the point exactly? I'd never seen him before, this individual. He wasn't a local. And then he said, do you know my father? I'm not joking. He said, my father is a Rebbe. My father is a Rebbe. He's got a chassid, he's not local at all, not from Stamford either, out of town. He's got a besmedush. He's got a shtickle of besmedush, and he's a chassid Rebbe. And he needs to look, a Rebbe needs to have a decent esrik. You want to make sure that you end up on the pictures. So I need to have a nice esrik. I'm buying for my father a nice esrik. So, and that's the story. He bought the esrik so that his father can walk around with a nice big esrik. So that was that. Yeah, so that was the only time that actually had such a huge... But yes, a big esrik is kosher, and according to some, it's even a hiddur. But it says over here that in Ma'akvin Zuzu, you don't have to hold it simultaneously. The Mishnah Berurah now goes into a topic which Shulchan Aruch does not talk about. And actually, the discussion is quite late in the poskim. Historically, it's a fascinating topic, and that's the topic that Rebbe Yossel mentioned yesterday, which is the grafting, which is called Murkov. Murkov is grafting. Now, just to get this clear, what is grafting exactly? I don't know exactly how it works. The basic idea is that when you have an esek tree, esoigim are very vulnerable, they're weak fruit, and if you want to make them stronger and growing better, what you take is you take branches of another fruit tree, you take those branches, and you put them in the earth, and they grow together. The grafting process, which is quite complex, is a lot more complex than what I'm saying, but the basic idea is you take the branches, you put them in the ground, the roots will grow together, and what comes out of this is going to be another kind of branch, and that grafted tree, what that is going to produce now, is not going to be completely a soygen, because it's been added, it has roots, which are not esoigim tree roots, but from another tree, and that will therefore not be completely esoigim. That is called tzidut, that's grafted. In other words, murkov. Now, what the Mishnah Berurah is an enormous Mishnah Berurah. I think it might be the longest Mishnah Berurah in all Shulchan Aruch. If you look at page Kuf Yutes, I believe this may be the longest, or one of the longest Mishnah Berurahs in the whole in all the Mishnah, I think it might be one of the longest. What he discussed over here is the differences between grafted and non-grafted esrogim. If you are in the possession of one of those Mishnah, you will see these pictures over here, which tries to symbolize the difference between a lemon and a esrog. Guess what? I think most of us have seen lemons, and most of us have seen esrogim, but this display tells us exactly the difference between esrogim and lemons, and what exactly is a mukov, the simonim of an esrog, because there are simonim, there are signs, what exactly looks like an esrog which has not been tampered with, which is not mukov, which is not grafted. And it's very simonim. One of the simonim is that it's bumpy, large. Can you see also what are the differences between the lemon, which is the most common fruit that you do hakov with? What's the difference between the lemon and the esrog? So one is the bumpiness, as you can see. What else? I'm just after page 236. That's the page. So what are differences? One difference is bumpiness. What else? Comparing the top, the esrog to the bottom, the lemon. What are the other differences? But that's not considered. Yeah, you're right, but that's not considered one of the main distinguishing signs. Pardon?
More fruit inside the lemon.
That's right. So that's one of the key differences is, if you look as the poets can put it, the flesh as opposed to the skin. So you've got the skin of the lemon, which is extremely, extremely thin. You have as opposed to the esrog, which is the white area, which is the skin, which is very, very thick. So you have much less skin by the lemon, much more juice, much more flesh by the lemon, and the white area, yeah, this over here, this is much thicker by the esrog and much thinner by the lemon. So that's difference number two. And difference number three is harder to distinguish, is the way no, that's not one of the distinguishing signs. The garinim, the way the garinim are, the way the seeds are lying. They look a bit different. But these are the signs. Rabbi said, halach lemaisa, it used to be for many generations, people were able to take an esrog and make those checks. Look how thick the skin is. Look how bumpy it is. Look at the seeds, how they're positioned. And therefore, decide and evaluate as whether it's actually an esrog which has been tampered with, it's grafted, or it's not been tampered at all. However, halach lemaisa, you can't do that. Some sort of facility a couple of hundred years ago, you can't make your checks and your evidence yourself. And you can't check yourself. But how do we know as to whether it's been checked? How do we actually know if it's been... when you buy an esrog, how can you evidence that it's a good esrog? What do you do? What's the only way and the best way to evidence and to know for sure this esrog is good? So from the Chassam Sofer's times onwards, we cannot check on that anymore. It's not reliable enough. Very good. So what we got is the hashkocha. And one of the most ignorant questions that people ask, probably when it comes to budget, why do you need a heksha? I'm not going to eat this esrog. Why do you need a heksha? Why do you need kosher now? And you get these questions every year. And this is pure amaratz, because the answer is no, you don't need the hashkocha and the heksha on the kosher aspect of it. But the hashkocha, which is a very expensive hashkocha, is there is a rabbinate that takes charge and control that no esrogim trees in that field are grafted. And that is truly a very hard operation. And it's very hard hashkocha, because they're going to make sure that the owners of the fields don't take other branches of other trees, they stuff it in, and they make the grafting process in order to make more and better fruit, more and better esrogim. So the hashkocha goes on a team which ensures that no grafting takes place. And therefore, nowadays, when you buy an esrog, you got to make sure, where is the hashkocha? Who ensures these are not grafted esrogim? How do you know? Because you can't tell externally anymore. Yeah.
Checks and say Morocco.
Very good question. So how do you actually check if we're talking about Moroccan? So who is going to America to check? The answer is absolutely there are teams that go there and ensure there's CCTVs there, because you've got to make sure that these trees are not being grafted. It's very expensive. These are teams going to Morocco on a regular basis to ensure they have CCTVs there, this whole operation taking place, that the trees are not grafted. It's really, really important. And as soon as there's something suspicious taking place over there, then they take the hashkocha back. It's really, really important.
Does that happen or not? Are they, are they, are they
they take Ashkochas. I think now there's not so much because there's good systems in place. But in the past, absolutely, absolutely. I never understood why there are people that say, oh, I love the Yanav HaSoigim, for instance, as an example, because Yanav HaSoigim, some Sofer said, they're great, they're not mukub, they're not grafted. And therefore, I love those HaSoigim, they're not grafted. It doesn't make a lot of sense, in my opinion, to say such a statement because... Exactly. Just because Chaim Sofer said they're not grafted, that was 200-300 years ago. In the meantime, guess what? Perhaps somebody grafted them. So it's not a good hashkocha that Chaim Sofer said hundreds of years ago, they're great, they're not grafted. So the point being, a person has to ensure, when you purchase an esek, you've got to make sure, where's hashkocha? I don't get offended, and I don't think anybody does, when somebody walks into the shop, and many people ask, and I think it's a very good question, shows that he knows what he's talking about. What hashkocha are those esoigim? Who gives them the heksha? I love that question, because obviously I'm not giving a heksha on them, I can't. So is it? So I have displayed prominently, and so do others. This is the rabbinate that ensures these esoigim are not grafted. It's a very key question. Now, what is the problem? Let's get to the bottom of this. What is the problem if an esek is grafted? What's the problem? What's that?
It's not an esrog, then.
Very good. So there's three reasons brought down in the poskim, or perhaps four. Reason number one is exactly what you're saying. If it's grafted, it's not an esrog. The Torah says you're going to take a b'etz hodah. Chazal teaches b'etz hodah is a esrog. If it's grafted, it's not a pure esrog. It's a combination of two. What's the word? It's a hybrid. Hybrid, that's the word. It's a hybrid. It's partially esrog, partially lemon. You can't make a brach on that, and therefore the boys can say, if you've got a graft, you cannot even make a brach on it. You're not making the mitzvah. You can't say, Hashem, it's not esrog. It's not esrog. It's a graft, it's semi lemon, semi esrog. Reason number one. What's reason number two? Pardon? Very good. Reason number two, which is brought down in the poskim, is kilaim. There's an issa of kilaim, of taking two fruit trees and merge them and make a kavod action issa. And therefore, since an issa was made, so it's also because of that. Thirdly, kind of, yeah, it's in that world. It's a world of mitzvah. No, I don't like to say precisely like that, because if a goy did it...
Because there's no problem for us to benefit from them.
Exactly, goy from the long way. So that's why I'm saying it's from that world. It's not precisely, halachically, precisely mitzvah avera, but it's in that world. That it's something which is never but a kilayim. Thirdly, a very interesting chat is the Taz says that it's chosa. Why is it chosa? It's lacking. An esek, which was grafted, is chosa. Why is it chosa? Chosa normally means... something lacking. Why is this chosa? Why is this lacking?
Because it's less than a whole esrog.
Why is it? What part is missing?
It's
I know it's very interesting. It's very lovish. I think it's very very lovish that you can't actually pinpoint this part is the lemon and this part is esrog. You can't pinpoint. But in a way, there is parts of it which is the grafted lemon in it. There's the lemon part of it, and that is therefore that part is chosa and esrog. So we don't know, I cannot identify exactly, this is, you know, this comes from the lemon, but there are parts of it, and therefore it's chosa.
So what, what would be the benefit to the owner of the field, say he's non-Jewish or whatever he's, in say Morocco, what would be his advantage to grow? It would be against his interest.
Nowadays, he's going to lose his license. And he would lose out for me. 100 years ago, he could produce much more esoigim and much better esoigim. Esoigim are very vulnerable. Yeah. And lemons grow better and more. It's easier to have a field of lemons than a field of esoigim.
So
you could make much more money.
You can make more money.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if he's caught, he's going to... Nowadays, it's not... nowadays, it's not... there's a lot of
you can tell anyway after this,
you can't necessarily really? No, so that's I should emphasize this earlier, you cannot nowadays tell if it's grafted or not. You cannot tell. You cannot rely on the external signs mentioned earlier. You cannot rely on it, because a person could graft on such a minimal way that there's no apparent external signs on it of the lemon. You won't see.
You
won't
past?
See. What?
How did you tell in the past if it was grafted? Was it bumpy, you said?
Yeah, bumpiness was one sign. and the thickness of the skin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but lemaisa, again, people were able to graft in a way that you couldn't tell externally. So therefore, we've got to have a good ashkocha.
But surely today, you could tell by the thickness of the skin. Today, wouldn't you be able to tell?
No, because you can't fully rely on the external appearance in science. You can't rely on it. The poskim say you gotta give hashkocha. You can't rely on the external science. The Mishnah Berurah talks about the color of the esek as well. What is a good esek color? What's a good color? Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. The poskim often speak about yellow esrog, which is nice. But it said that green, if it's very green, it's not good. I want to point out, from my experience, if there's... And the halacha, they always speak about yellow and not green. In my experience, if it's very, very yellow, the esrog is going to go...
Brown.
Yeah, so if it's too yellow, that's not great. So whilst the poskim recommend the yellow esek, if it's very, very yellow, then it might turn into brown. It depends on how careful you are and how you hold it, and what the temperature is. But very yellow is not very practical. However, one has to remember that if it's very green, it's a psul, and it depends also when you purchase, when you're buying the esek. The earlier it is, the more... You know, then it's green is fine. If you're just Erev Sukkos and it's still green, that's no good. But if you're buying, you know, some Gedalia or something like that, you're buying, and the esek is still a bit green, that's very, very good, because it will stay fresh and it's going to be the right color from Sukkos. But if you're buying a bright yellow esek on some Gedalia, bright yellow, then by Sukkos, it's probably going to turn brown already. So one has to really know when one is buying and what color one is looking for. But again, if it's very, very yellow, it's not good. It's you might turn into brown. And if it's very green, then it's not so good to have a very green esek. It's got to be a little bit notel, a little bit yellowish. So by yom tov. So one has to just kind of keep that in mind. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. With this, we have completed Simon Tov Resh Mem Ches. And I'm looking very much forward to learning Simon Nun Hei next week, Bezer Hashem, which is halachas of Kaddish, and many halachas relating to the minyan, and that will quickly lead into the halachas of Kriya Shema, Birkas Kriya Shema, extremely relevant and important halachas, and I'm very much looking forward to going back to those halachas with Shem on Sunday, Habol in Le Toiva. And having said this, I wish you a very pleasant evening and a very good Shabbos. Yeah.